Yes, good morning, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Hold on here a second, please. I can shut it up.
Yes, sir.
He's got some ceiling echo.
That's from us.
Hello,
can you hear me?
Yeah, barely, but I can hear you.
Okay, but what is your name before we get started, sir?
Frank Racer.
I have it.
Okay, hold 1 second. The Honorable Mr. Kiwanis will conduct your hearing, sir. Since we have 3 present, we can go ahead, sir.
Okay. Mr. Racer, can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, I can hear you clearly. I just can't hear the judge clearly.
Yeah, I think it's sometimes it's about mic placement. But just give me a second, and we'll get your paperwork in order and get started.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
No, all of us are, I'm the chairman, but all of us are judges, but we're not judges, we're all board members, sir, but we're all here together.
Mr. Racer?
Yes?
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Frank James Racer, or Franklin James Racer. 108-121.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the 3 alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on November 20th, 2017. Is that correct, Mr. Racer?
Yes.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
What was that? Middle choice besides representing myself?
I said one of those rights is that you could hire to represent yourself. I'm sorry. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. For this hearing, we're authorized for a 3-member panel. With me is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, sitting at the middle of the bench. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. Also with us is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. In addition, we have our community corrections officer, Mr. Osborne, who will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Racer and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes,
I do, sir.
Mr. Racer, this hearing will be conducted in 2 phases. Phase 1 will be to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision, and there'll be a separate vote for that. But more importantly, Phase 2 will decide if your supervision will be continued or revoked. I will begin Phase 1 by reading from the warrant of arrest.
Excuse me, before you continue, will I have a time to explain whatever?
Yes, Phase 1 moves pretty quick, and that is when we determine whether or not you violated the conditions of community supervision. But Phase 2, you'll have a chance to speak to the board in detail, and that's when we'll decide whether or not to continue or revoke your community supervision. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You'll catch on to the flow very quickly here.
Okay.
I'll begin.
I'm very slow because of my mental illness.
Okay.
Who is that?
Thank you for putting that out, sir. And I'll try to...
That's why I was on an SMI caseload.
Thank you, sir. I will begin the first phase of the hearing by reading from the warrant of arrest. During this phase, you need to respond whether the allegations are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, The board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it shortly. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes.
Okay. For phase one, I will read from a warrant of arrest. You violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal razor company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number five is demonstrated by you soliciting donations under false pretenses through Facebook on or about July 15, 2017. Mr. Racer, is that true or false?
False.
Okay, sir. Allegation number two, violation of condition number two is demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about August 11, 2017, as verbally directed on August 11, 2017. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were absconded from supervision. Mr. Racer, is this true or false?
I was not on my medication, so I was probably saying that's true, but I don't know, because I was not on my right frame of mind.
Okay, thank you, sir.
But I was wandering around the street of Phoenix with no medication, nothing, just probably not on my right,
right mind. Okay, sir. And allegation number three is violation of condition number 12 is demonstrated by being aggressive. I guess there's a missing word. It says, as demonstrated by being aggressive verbal behavior at your approved placement at VBA Recovery Housing on August 11th, 2017. So, Mr. Racer, did you have aggressive verbal behavior at your proof placement?
No.
Okay, so that's a false.
I got a little hot because they would not fix the problem with the backyard due to the fact I'm visually impaired.
Okay, sir.
I'm light in one eye.
All right.
And it was totally dark outside, and they wanted to sit there and not put any light out there.
Okay.
So I'm able to see to where I'm not tripping over everything.
Okay, you'll have a chance to discuss this further in detail, so I'm writing that down as false. So correct, sir?
Yes.
Okay, before we move on, we need to take further testimony from our community corrections officer on the allegations that you stated as false, and we'll get back to you shortly for a few questions.
Okay.
Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Allegation number one. On August 11th, 17, PS Police was provided information that the offender had a Facebook page in which she was seeking donations for a cat rescue and shelter program. The page was located and listed that the offender lost his $300,000 a year job and needed funds as he had a sick cat named Midnight. It also stated that he runs a year-round cat shelter in which he does not receive any funding for. According to the offender's grandmother, the offender does not have any cats. She is the one that owns the cats, and the offender does not run a shelter program. The offender was soliciting donations for a program that does not exist, therefore committing fraud.
Okay, Mr. Racer, again, we're only in the first phase of the hearing, but what is false about that allegation?
Well, sir, first of all, I did not post that. Second of all, there's so many people hacking in to Facebook on a daily basis. That's the reason why on a daily basis I had to keep changing my password and email address. So no, I did not post it.
Thank you, sir. Now we're going to take information on the third allegation, which you stated is false. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Allegation number two. On August 11th, 2017, the offender became upset and started yelling that someone had stolen his Star Wars pen. When VBRA staff members offered to help the offender double-check his room and to make sure he didn't overlook the pen, he yelled, "I am not lying. It is not here." The offender approached Lael Rosas, residential manager, aggressively yelling, "I need to speak to your direct supervisor right now." Lael informed the offender that her direct supervisor was out of town, but the facility manager would be in shortly to speak to him. The offender accused Lael of lying, so Lael told the offender to give her a few minutes to get a hold of another manager. Defendant became confrontational, claiming that he was being denied his rights, and he would get loud fired and BBC's license revoked. Defendant's actions and aggressive tone created a situation inciting the other residents to become on guard. The defendant yelled aloud, "You are a lying piece of shit. You are a bitch." The other residents stood between Lyle and the offender because they felt he was being aggressive and disrespectful. At that time, Lyle removed herself from the situation to avoid any further altercation between her and the offender. The facility manager, Abubakar, Gaber, told the offender to pack his belongings because he was being discharged. Gaber also advised the offender that he needed to report to the parole office immediately per PO Avery's request. On the offender's way out, he yelled to Gaber, "I'm going to get both of you in trouble, and believe me, you too," and verbatim, "nigger." And I apologize for stating that. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Okay, Mr. Racer, what is false about that allegation?
First part, I didn't use the inner work. Okay. I can't hear what that is. First of all, I did not use the inner work.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's one thing I did not use. During that whole situation, I had just gotten out of the office with Lyell about the whole situation. Like I said, with the light bulb in lighting up the backyard so I can properly see that what they're doing is not aiding a disabled person. Then I noticed my pen was missing. I got a little high-headed, but I was not yelling at the top of my voice where it was in a threatening manner. They may have took it as such, but then again, they're also in the wrong for not making sure I had my medication even. Because I had also been there 4 days without my medication.
Okay, sir. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to move through the first phase of this hearing on to the second phase in which you'll have a chance to speak to the board in detail. But for phase one, based on Mr. Racer's admission and allegation number two, as well as the information provided in warrant number 2017W2799, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. And for allegations one and three, based on the information provided in warrant number 2017W2799, as well as follow-up information from the Department of Corrections. Just 1 second. I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in a criminal related company.
Second.
Okay, Mr. Ray, so we're going to move on with the second phase of the hearing. During this phase, we will determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Osborne, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you momentarily for questions. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Mr. Racer was released from DOC custody on January 13th, 2017. He was arrested on October 13th, 2017 by the Phoenix Police Department on the Chicago War status and was returned back to our custody that same day with 63 Chicago days, with a community supervision end date of June 18th of 2018. Current conviction, 2008, theft, 9 years. Prior convictions, 1994, burglary, third degree, 2 years, 3 months. 1997, burglary, third degree, 3 years. 1997, burglary, second degree, 4 years. 1997, aggravated assault, 2 years, 3 months. 1997, aggravated assault, 1 year, 6 months. And 2002, aggravated assault, 2 years, 3 months. He's had 5 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 5.4, mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 1. There is no STG or gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2004, TIS absconded 2 days, returned to custody and revoked. Has a very significant disciplinary history, I believe 6 pages long, with multiple acts of violence, physical violence, and threatening behavior noted. Other arrests, 1993, theft, AZ County Jail. 1993, burglary, AZ felony conviction probation. 2005, criminal trespass, third degree, Arizona felony conviction probation. In 2007, disorderly conduct, AZ County Jail. And he has a community risk score of G5-B6.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Back to you, Mr. Ray, sir. I'm going to do a quick summary of your case supervision summary, or quick review, pardon me, of your case supervision summary. Were you employed at all when you were outside of the prison system?
No, sir. I was in the process of trying to get disability.
Thank you. It looks like that regarding residence, you were approved to reside at Central Arizona Shelter.
And I was also approved at one time to live with my grandmother.
Yeah, I see that in the notes as well. Miss Marilyn Racer in Phoenix.
Yes.
Then you were approved to reside.
I extended that that's one of the places I went to, knowing that I would be safe while I try to get back on my medication.
Thank you, sir. And if I may ask, without getting too personal about your medical status, have you been able to get back on your medication?
As long as I'm on my medication, I'm fine, yes. It's just putting me in places like a DOC halfway house that don't have control over whether or not I see a psychiatrist, that limit my access to a psychiatrist or some doctor to talk to on either a daily basis or every other day. It's just not right. They don't have halfway houses sanctioned for the mentally disabled, especially when they're being released out on parole.
Thank you, sir. Just 1 second.
As far as allegation number 1 for the Facebook situation, Facebook gets hacked by hackers on a daily basis. So no, I did not replace that.
Thank you, sir.
I tried to erase that Facebook page and couldn't because the password and email address had been changed somewhere else. I didn't do it.
And again, okay, you've given a very detailed answer for that. We went through the background for, we'll just say, personality differences that you had at Vivre. So you're saying that there was some sort of difference between you and one of the caseworkers, but you're saying you weren't, you didn't say those words, or you weren't aggressive.
I wasn't aggressive. I tried keeping a level head at all times. I got a tad bit hot-headed where I had to raise my voice over jabber just to get a point across, but at no time did I ever use the N-word at any given time.
Let me ask you this, sir, and I'll be delicate about it. You're certainly not here. We're not here to retry any new charges or any past charges. We recognize you have a history in the Department of Corrections, but you do have a history of assault. So did you have a past history with, like, anger or violent outbursts?
Yes. Because back in the past, before DOC had the started recognizing SMI inmates and separating them, back in the old Persons versus Ryan lawsuit, Yeah, I was very aggressive and assaultive towards staff.
Okay, so you were missing from community supervision for 63 days. I think you stated that you were living with your grandmother, but what were you doing during that time?
I was taking care of my grandmother because she was majorly sick. And trying to make sure that she got what she needed as far as rides to and from our doctor's appointments, etc.
Were you able to take care of yourself at that time, especially because you stated that you have some SMI issues?
Yes, I was also made sure I got back on my medications. As a matter of fact, I spent 4 days at the county psych annex just to get back on my medication as a volunteer commitment.
During those 63 days, why did you not maintain contact with your parole officer, sir?
Like I said, without meds, I was not on my right rocker. And it takes a while for it to get back into my systems where I'm thinking properly. To where it's actually working. And the only safe place I knew that I could be, where there's somebody that I know, other than somebody that I don't know, was my grandmother's house.
Thank you, sir. Now, you were missing from community supervision for 63 days and then returned. Who arrested you and returned you to the DOC?
I pretty much was lured into that one. I posted a video on YouTube that actually had my cell phone number on it. And it was basically a joke or whatever, and a parole officer, I figured this out later after I was returned to custody by Phoenix Police on my way home, that they had asked me my address, and the next thing you know, Phoenix Police is outside my door waiting for me.
Okay, Mr. Ray, so I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Fellow board members. Okay, seeing no questions from fellow board members, we're getting close to the end of this hearing. Is there anything else you would like to share with the board before we go into discussion? We really ask that you don't repeat yourself, because we've discussed quite a bit of information, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, I just found out by a letter that my grandmother doesn't have much time with this current situation of hers. And now that I'm on my medication again, I ask that since I didn't commit any crimes during that time, I wasn't getting high or whatever, that I be given a second chance to go out, because typically I was doing well up until me getting placed at that DOC halfway house, to where I was close to being to where I would have to commit myself to a second psychiatric stint at probably Desert Vista or their sister property at the county hospital in Maricopa County.
Thank you, Mr. Racer. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like we're discussing your case with you, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes? As individual voting members operating under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just remain on the phone.
My grandmother does not trust anybody to take care of her but me.
Thank you, sir. If you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, Mr. Racer.
Mm-hmm.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an unfortunate case in as much that Mr. Racer has been through the Department of Corrections several times. He's open about his ongoing struggles with SMI issues and seems to be putting the effort into receiving treatment, and he's to be commended for that. It's unfortunate that he was not able to settle any disability issues when he was outside of the Department of Corrections, and I do commend him for making efforts to take care of his grandmother. At issue, he's taken a strong position that he had nothing to do with the Facebook allegation, and we don't really know one way or the other. We only can take what's in the warrant at face value, but without question, he did abscond from community supervision for 63 days without contact with his parole officer, and also made reference to the fact that during that time he was having struggle maintaining, at least at that time, staying on his meds, and in which he stated that he was not in his right mind, for the lack of a better expression, or struggling with some sort of episode, and was out in the street. He was arrested by the Phoenix Police Department. With the amount of time that he has left, I'm wrangling, as one voting board member, whether or not we have any options to get him in, or at least recommend, some sort of ongoing behavioral health treatment. At the same time, he's talking about the need to take care of his grandmother, and I don't know if that's necessarily the safest situation. I will say part of me is not supportive of returning him to community supervision based on behavior and unwillingness to adhere to the conditions of release. So that's where I'll begin the discussion. I know that, I'm not being very firm on this, but it's a delicate case. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Ms. Kim, as I understand, I'm a little bit worried about some of the violent outbursts that he has.
Yeah.
There's and I don't know if there's anything we can do. It definitely needs some. It has some eye issues that he's actually having that needs to be taken care of. And I think that the only, and I'm not sure that I don't even think that we can do it. But I think he has to be released to, if he was released to mental health issues, to deal with those mental health issues, to keep him having those violent outbursts. And he's already stated that he had a problem when he went to the halfway houses, because the halfway houses, you know, they don't control the people there, and it causes him to have the outbursts. So I'm not sure exactly. It's evident that he needs some help, but I'm not sure that we have the ability to be able to assist him. He really needs some mental health programming in order to get himself together.
I'll go to a hospital.
Mr. Racer, the board's in discussion right now. We do appreciate what you're offering right now. We need to complete the discussion. I will ask a quick question of our community corrections officer, and that is, Mr. Osborne, again, as we know, the board can't make direct placement into any sort of program, but what are the options that are available for someone with SMI issues making transition back to the community?
The only way, we do have SMI caseloads available, but all ours are outpatient. I believe what he's looking for will take a civil commitment by the court.
Mm-hmm.
So he could not leave on his own. So it would take a court order to do so on that type of a situation.
Thank you for that clarification. Ms. Rittenhouse?
I struggle with this too, because he sounds very sincere, especially about taking care of his grandmother, but he has a manner of speaking that, you know, when he's surrounded by a lot of people, I can see just his, he speaks very directly, and some people don't like that, and I can see where some people might get their feathers ruffled by that and get upset. And so I definitely think he could benefit from some kind of behavioral health treatment, but we struggle with where could we put him, or where could the department,
Dr. A, put
him? I think that we're limited in terms of our recommendation. It's very unfortunate. He does need help. There's no question about that. But just as one board member, as we stand at this moment, I just can't be in vain.
Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and see what falls. We're open to the whatever counter process we have. But my initial motion is going to be that Based on the information provided in warrant number 2017W2799, our discussion with Mr. Racer, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, with a particular emphasis on absconding for 63 days. I think some problems that were at that time related to behavioral health. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Racer was delinquent, violating the terms and conditions of his supervision without question, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in Oklahoma Laser Company, in as much as we could not account for the time that he was missing from community supervision, and that is my motion.
I'll second.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Racer, your supervision has been revoked and you'll be released on or about June 18th, 2018. We hope that you'll take advantage of the remainder of your prison sentence to receive any treatment that's available to you inside the correction system. It sounds like you're on your medication, you're at least safe. And we do wish you a safe and productive transition to the community, but we're not finding you suitable for community supervision.
Okay.
This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and we do want to thank you for appearing before this board today, sir.
Do you want me to tell them to bring the next person in?
Yes, sir. Really appreciate it.
No, sir. Put the CO3 back on.
Yes, pardon me.
Please put the CO3 back on, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir.